holy name through Christ our Lord. Almighty and everlasting God, we are taught by thy holy word that the hearts of the rulers are in thy governance, and that thou dost dispose them to turn them as it seemeth best to thy godly wisdom. We humbly beseech thee, so does dispose and govern the hearts of thy servants here present, whom thou hast placed in civil authority, that in all their thoughts, words, and works they may ever seek thy honor and glory, and study to preserve this thy people, committed to their charge, in wealth, peace, and godliness. Grant this, O merciful Father, for thy dear Son's sake, Jesus Christ our Lord. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one state, indivisible.
Yeehaw.
Oh, thank you. We have a couple of ceremonial recognitions this morning. First of all, the designation of Storm Ready from the National Weather Service.
Yay!
We are ready.
We are ready.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. I'm Jason Runyon, the Warning Coordination Meteorologist for the National Weather Service. And with me, I have Pat Vesper, our meteorologist in charge for our office. It is a true honor to stand before you today as we recognize the City of Fredericksburg and Gillespie County's commitment to safety and resilience by achieving the prestigious Storm Ready designation from the National Weather Service. We live in the most severe weather-prone country on Earth, where nearly 98% of all presidentially declared disasters are weather-related. This region of Texas leads the nation in flash flood fatalities. For us to be a true weather-ready nation, preparedness is not optional, it is vital. The Storm Ready program is a profound initiative that arms communities like yours with the essential communication and safety skills needed to protect lives and property before, during, and after a severe weather event. The recognition is not merely a plaque or a sign, it is a testament to proactive planning, education, and awareness. It signifies that your community has taken concrete steps to meet rigorous criteria, including establishing a 24-hour warning point and emergency operations center, developing multiple reliable ways to receive and disseminate severe weather warnings, promoting public readiness through community-wide education seminars, and developing a formal comprehensive hazardous weather plan. While no community is storm-proof, becoming storm-ready signifies that you are storm-prepared. This achievement highlights the dedication of your emergency services, including Emergency Management Coordinator Ashley Morris. Having worked with Ashley for years, I know she is highly aware of the regional hazards, in particular the weather hazards across this region, and she collaborates closely with the National Weather Service and is a vital member of our integrated warning team. She was instrumental in Fredericksburg and Gillespie County becoming the first communities in the Texas Hill Country to achieve the Storm Ready designation. Thank you, Ashley, and the City of Fredericksburg. Your leadership and commitment ensure that we continue to protect the people and property of this great community. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And we have the sign for you and also the certificate of recognition that says, for improving the timeliness and effectiveness of hazardous weather warnings through diligent and proactive approach of increased communications and preparedness, the National Weather Service hereby recognizes Gillespie County, the City of Fredericksburg, as storm ready through January 20th of 2030.
Great. Ashley, did you have a comment?
I do. So thank you for letting us present this. I'm a huge fan of the Storm Ready program. It is an excellent asset to our storm preparedness and readiness. It was a goal as soon as I got here to work on this, and so I'm so glad that we get to be the first Hill Country County to have it. It does require us to maintain a certain level of severe weather preparedness, planning, communication and outreach, but we're really excited to take that on in the emergency management program that we're building. And just thanks for the time. And we'll just keep working on Star Ready here.
Alyssa, could I get a picture with these folks?
Hey, Ashley, if I remember, at the commissioners' meeting, they did have, we're setting up some weather units here in the county to hopefully anticipate some of these future storms. Is that right?
Yes. So Texas Tech is actually installing a radar and instrumentation. We're also rolling out a siren alert system funded by the state along our river and some of our other areas. So we're working on that this year with Hill Country flood funding. So
the siren has not been installed yet. Is that correct?
Not yet, but we are working on it.
Because I was in Hunt, and they've got theirs working up there, which they needed badly.
Absolutely. So what we would like, because this is a community designation, we would like all of y'all, if you can, to take a picture real quick. With our stuff, and then we're also going to get our department heads to come up here and take a picture as well.
Great. Come on.
Chief, I think that's you. Bizzle, I think that's you.
Yeah. Chief.
Who else should be in this picture?
Department heads? Anyone else?
Sorry, you're fine.
Ready?
Awesome. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank y'all so much.
Ashley.
Yes.
I was thinking Alyssa. I want Ashley. Next is the AEDs by the Rotary. Jimmy?
Yes, sir.
You guys want to come on up? Well, good morning. My name is Jimmy Culp, and on behalf of the Fredericksburg Nemish Rotary, we certainly appreciate the recognition from the council, the mayor, and the police and fire department for the work that our club does for this community. The funds to purchase the AEDs with the help of the 100 Club was raised throughout last year, culminating in our golf tournament, Bunko auction event held in October out at Lady Bird, as well as a generous donation from Create Healthy. We hope that when warranted, the AEDs will help save many lives across the county. For this year's event, our club hopes to raise the funds to purchase and install Harmony Park in town. Harmony Park being a durable, permanently installed set of outdoor musical instruments to be enjoyed by the children in the community and those that come to visit. We are scheduled to present our plans tomorrow morning to the Market Square Redevelopment Commission. Again, we appreciate the recognition this morning. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Can we get a photo? We need a picture here. Y'all come on up here. This is my pleasure.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
Which rotary is this? This is the Nimitz.
Nimitz, okay. Y'all still made it?
No. I'll the golden hug.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second.
Okay, get friendly.
David,
yeah. David, yeah. Kevin? Yeah. David, yeah. They're great. We need to get
all right, we got to get friendly, guys.
Blows in.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Thanks, gentlemen, ladies.
Jeez.
Absolutely.
Council comments.
Good morning.
Morning.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm pleased to announce that the search committee for the CEO of the CVB has finished their work. A contract has been offered to the finalist. However, close of business yesterday, that contract hasn't been signed, so I can't announce the finalist name. But I will tell you, this person is highly energetic, very outgoing, and is going to be a great fit for our community.
Just an update on the commissioner's court, which I attended last Tuesday. They continue, and I did visit with Commissioner Ofers yesterday. They're trying to set up possibly two groups, one with the Harper group with the best deal, and the other one would be on Marshall Springs, which I suggested that somebody from the city serve on that committee too. That's work in progress. They continue to work on that. Apparently they passed the 90-day time period that the best people were supposed to reply on the charges or the legal action, and that hasn't taken place, so the county attorney was going to follow up on that. Other things I do, Margaret Plotz and y'all reminded me just a few minutes ago, they will be meeting tomorrow, 9 o'clock in the morning. First time we've met in quite some time, so there should be some work to be completed at that time.
Good morning. Well, we are in the presence of greatness. We have Chamber Man of the Year to my right, Bobby Watson, and Public Servant of the Year, Tom Musselman, back row. Anyone else in here? I think that's it. We had a lovely chamber gala. We're blessed with a wonderful business community here. Coffee with the city manager was last week, and Scott Fair from the appraisal district did a great job of explaining the ins and outs of appraisals and taxes and how it all fits together.
Good morning, everyone. Two things. I went to the chamber banquet last on March the 5th, and on March the 9th, I attended the Parks Foundation board meeting.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, and there is an airport board meeting this afternoon. Okay. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Council. We're going to go to the consent agenda. The following items may be acted upon, which is only one. It's the approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of March the 3rd.
Make a motion. We approve.
Second.
Motion second to approve. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right, now we go to ordinances, resolutions, and public hearings. Ordinance 2611 related to Atmos Mid-Tech's rate review mechanism tariff. Chris?
Good morning, Mayor and Council. In mid-July, is it on? There it is. Let me get closer to the mic. Is that better?
Okay. Yeah.
In mid-July 2025, the Council passed a resolution adopting the city into an Atmos Steering Committee. What the Atmos Steering Committee does is they review these rate adjustments. So Council received an interim rate adjustment flyer from Atmos here about a month ago. What a member of the Atmos Steering Committee does for the city is it actually puts us in a different category or a different class so that we're no longer subject to those interim rate adjustments. So with this ordinance today that you will consider, our customers, the Atmos customers in the city of Fredericksburg, would actually see a decrease in their rates, their Atmos gas rates, rather than an increase according to this interim rate adjustment. So I can go into a little bit more detail if you'd like, but basically the steering committee evaluates those rates on an annual basis and does make recommendations for councils of our size throughout Texas. There's 188 different cities that are a member of this steering committee. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have. Staff is certainly recommending approval of this ordinance for the Atmos rate customers in the city limits to lower the current rate in In the future, there will likely be a rate adjustment, but it will be well vetted by the steering committee that the city is a member of.
Thank you, Chris. Did they initially come to us for a rate increase, and then we were able to say, no, we're a city in the steering committee?
That's correct. So the interim rate adjustment would have taken place if we weren't part of this different process in the steering committee. And that's the memo that council got from Atmos here about 30 to 45 days ago.
So how much of a decrease is there?
It's in the packet.
No, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
It's $1.28.
Yeah, it's $1.28 per month, so not a huge difference. But the rates that they were increased by, proposing to increase by as part of the interim rate adjustment, was they were pretty substantial.
43% increase. Motion to approve ordinance 2026-11.
Motion and second to approve this resolution, this ordinance. Any further questions or discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. 7B is request 2603. Zoning change from single-family residential R1 to CBD for properties located at 408, 412, and 414 East Austin. Noting council, the P&Z recommended denial with a unanimous vote, so it would require a supermajority to overturn. We'll start with a presentation by the applicant.
Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
Members of council. My name is Brad Naylor. Give me just 1 second. Put some glasses on so I can see. One of the owners, currently 414 East Austin. I represent the other owners at 408 and 412. Our request for rezoning from R1 residential to C1 commercial so that the zoning of our properties better reflects the reality of how this block functions today. Over time, this section of East Austin has transitioned away from traditional residential use. Within the 200-foot notification area, there are 10 active short-term rentals, 2 boutique hotels, a museum, commercial parking lot, with only 1 full-time resident. The street also experiences significant tourism traffic, pedestrian activity, and overflow parking from nearby attractions. The 2024 comprehensive plan designates this area as part of the East Austin District, which anticipates a mix of commercial and residential use. Our request simply aligns with zoning with that adopted version. Importantly, we are not seeking Central Business District rezoning. We believe neighborhood commercial is the appropriate classification because it creates transition between Main Street, commercial activity, and residential homes on Schubert Street. C1 zoning allows only limited neighborhood compatibility uses and includes setbacks and development standards that protect nearby houses. This request does not introduce commercial activity to a residential street. It recognizes the commercial activity that already exists and creates a responsible transition between districts. For those reasons, we respectfully request for your approval. Thank you for your consideration.
I'm confused.
Yeah, I'll clarify.
The request before us is to approve or to support the P&Z's discussion about CBD, and he's requesting C1. That's not before us, is it?
No. So I'd be happy to clarify in my presentation to you, Mayor, and where we are. So I'm assuming I'm on here. So as Mr. Ayler had indicated, they had originally come to the Planning and Zoning Commission for a rezoning request, but the original rezoning request was to rezone from R1 to CBD, Central Business District, which is a trend of zoning throughout that area, especially across the street. I think what has come up during the planning and zoning consideration of this request, there was discussion of an alternate zoning district of C1, which you as the council have an option to approve that. But when P&Z considered this request, They considered the original request from the Armonde Central Business District for the three subject properties along Austin Street. And as you see in your staff report, we've identified the permitted and conditional uses. The Planning and Zoning Commission did discuss the option of a potential C1 underlying zoning district, but ultimately they did not take action on a recommendation for a C1 district. Their ultimate recommendation was to deny the request for the Central Business District, which would be forwarded to you today, and that's what you have here before you. If the applicant would request an alternate C1 district, they do have that right. But because the recommendation came before you for denial, you still, and Mary, you were correct, there still needs to be a supermajority action, regardless whether it's for the Central Business District or the C1 alternate zoning district. So probably the best way to consider that is you have a few different options here. You can consider the recommendation as presented and take action on the denial of the Central Business District. You could consider an alternate underlying zoning district of C1, but you would still need that supermajority. You could table the item and reconsider it at your next city council meeting. You could table the item, kick it back to the Planning and Zoning Commission with the recommendation that they consider the C1 underlying zoning district at that point. Then they would have to take action on that during their April 1st meeting. Then that recommendation would come back before you. Or you could just ultimately deny the request. So those are the options that are before you, but I know they mentioned the C1, but that is technically not the formal recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission at this time.
Thank you, Cliff. I have several people to speak on this that have signed up for it. Well, a few. But obviously, since it is on the agenda, there are others here who did not sign up that would like to speak about it. That's fine. I do have, Mr. Ehler, is this from you?
I'm not familiar with
this. Yeah, so there was some material submitted yesterday. It included some of the summary of what Mr. Ehler had talked to you about in terms of, like, I think there were 23 slides. And then there was an additional submittal that talked about the reasoning behind the rezoning.
So this was not in our packet. So
it was not your original packet, but I sent it this morning.
Mike Mahoney? And folks, I have this fancy new timing system now. I can push it go, and then your light will say go, and then I hope it's 3 minutes, not 3 hours. Okay, go.
Thank you. My name is Mike Mahoney. I'm a citizen and resident of Fredericksburg. In the interest of transparency, this really stinks. These applicants applied for CBD. PNC considered that. Coach Cross here, coaching the applicants, suggested maybe they consider C1. Whether that's appropriate is up to you to decide. But certainly from a citizen's viewpoint, there was no notice given that C1 was even to be considered here. I suspect there may be more people here. The application for CBD is patently ridiculous to zone 3 residences on a street, the highest zoning category we've got in this town. I hope you'll just simply deny that. If the applicants want to refile and notice the citizens that that's what they're asking for, that should be the way this goes on, not bounce it back to PNZ without any notice to the public. So please do deny this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, Ron. Is that Ron?
Yeah.
Mr. Wolhoff, for the record.
Yes.
My name is Ron Wolhoff, and I ask you to deny the zoning request Z2603. I've read letters that are in the city website, and I agree with them. There has to be a stop to encroachment on the rural residential home sites. when Mr. Cross spoke 2 weeks ago to the Planning and Zoning Commission, he talked in part about the highest and best use. If one wants to be realistic, maybe the highest and best use is to allow adjoining neighbors the right to live in homes that they have lived in and loved. I'm familiar with living in a home that backs up to a loud business and being forced to move. If one wants to believe in the fairy tale of happiness, they might think that potential new owners would never put in a bar or a restaurant or any type of business that has late, loud hours. With new zoning, these things can happen. I feel that you need to plan for the worst that can happen. Thank you.
Letty, I'm sorry. I should have opened a public hearing. I'll open the public hearing now and invite anybody else. But all these will be on the record, of course. Anyone else? Close the public hearing. All right, Council. Questions, comments, clarifications, a motion?
I've got a few questions. I'm curious, what has changed since the property was purchased in 2017, Mr. Ayler?
From when we purchased it in 17, it was a short-term rental at that time. And since then, many more short-term rentals have come into play in that area. In addition to that, and you all live here, my namesake's 100 years here. I was here when peaches were what Fredericksburg was known for. There is a lot of traffic, commercial, residential, runs up and down the street in front of these properties. Essentially, raising a family in these properties is not conducive to its location. The foot traffic, the parking traffic alone that's on the street, that in itself, I believe, has hindered people from wanting to live there. They will live further out because they're looking for that peace and space and quality of life that they can get out there as opposed to up close. And that's probably another reason why there's a majority of short-term rentals that are up in that area. We have a hotel directly across the street. We have the Nimitz Museum, the Pacific Museum, having their reenactments on the regular with explosions and whatever the case is. In my opinion, you don't only see that in a residential neighborhood. So from my standpoint, we are looking to evolve to the next best use. I'm not looking to put in a bar at all. For me, it is more of a, and I'd have to polish up on what the exact is, but a law firm, an architectural firm, some type of boutique, salon, that's my direction and my feeling, because that in itself is conducive to the people that travel the street. I believe it's Washington that the traffic has been converted to one direction as opposed to going back to Main Street. So that in itself has made it a very natural thoroughfare for traffic to come down our street right in front of our house. I personally don't have a mailbox up in front of my house because it's been knocked over 3 times by people parking on the street.
Do you live there or is it a short-term rental?
It is a short-term rental. Okay. But from a repair standpoint, that's what I'm getting at. It just hasn't worked out that way. Any other questions?
I don't know if you're speaking for the other resident or other owners, but I haven't heard any concrete plans. It's just you want the option to be able to have a business instead of your short-term rental?
The short-term rental has worked great for my family and myself. Well, we have other individuals that are part of this petition that they don't have a short-term rental. They're in kind of a unique situation where their properties are set as they currently are, and they're kind of in a box, per se, if that's what you want to call it. They can't do much with that property. So, yes, the short-term rental works, but as the city has evolved and as the growth has evolved, even the Albert Hotel, the growth of that, has led to a lot more people coming into town. As I mentioned, I've been coming here 40 years. I've seen the evolution. I've seen when Saturday at 5, Main Street was closed. There wasn't much around. And it has just evolved to where it is now. And by our stance and our view, the city has grown around our residences, and we feel like the next step is for us to become part of that growth in itself.
Would you consider relinquishing your SDR permit?
For commercial?
To get the neighborhood back to the way it was pre-2017? Just curious. It's more of a hypothetical question.
That would penalize me in a sense, because then I would have to look at it from the standpoint, who would want to buy my house and raise their children off that street in that location with the sheer amount of foot traffic that comes through there?
Thank you.
Thank you. Cliff?
Yes.
Did we hear any response from 402 or 406 or 416 or 204?
So if I recall, there was a letter of protest that came from 402.
Is that the Carathan Harrison Estate?
Yeah, there was a representative on their behalf. I don't remember if that came in to PNZ, but I believe one came in recently to come here before you and council, and someone came on their behalf during the PNZ.
What about 406 and 416?
They both I do face not believe 406 or 416 off the top of my head. There were, what I can tell you, in the total protest, we had received approximately 25 protest letters at the time of PNZ, and I know more have come in. I think some of them are repeats.
And a significant number of them were not in the notice district.
Yeah, exactly. And it was noted during the PNZ meeting that of all those protests, roughly three of them came from within the 200-foot buffer area that we send those notices to, which basically represents the block itself.
Okay.
Cliff, was it those protests for the CBD?
The protests for the Central Business District, I believe one individual, Mr. Ayler can confirm this, I believe there was one individual of those three protests within the 200 feet that was more comfortable with the C1 district, if I recall. I don't know if they said they were would recommend approval of it, but they felt more comfortable with the C1 district based upon the limitation of more professional office uses as opposed to the central business district uses that are permitted by right.
I believe that was an STR owner in the 200 feet.
All right.
I make a motion we deny request Z-2603 from the R1 to the Central Business District.
Second.
I have a motion and second to deny this request for this change from R1 to CBD. Any further discussion or questions?
So if we deny this, they can reapply it as C1.
So this became a topic of discussion. If you remember, we did recently do an amendment to the resubmittal timeline for rezonings and conditional use permits. This was a request or an application that was formally made before that adoption of that amendment. So myself as the department director has the option to determine that they have the vestment. So, yes, they would be able to make an application. They are one of the rare ones now. They could make a reapplication for the C1 district at this time.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The application is denied. Item 7C. Consideration and approval of ordinance amending Appendix A, Article 5, etc., of the Municipal Code related to construction permit and application fee schedule. Cliff?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. As you're aware, we're going through some text amendments in the Municipal Code, and we recently brought some amendments to the Building Code to you that was approved in a prior council meeting. Now we are bringing to you an amendment to the fee schedule as identified in our Municipal Code, and specifically it's text amendments to Article 5000, which pertains to construction permits and fees. And what we are basically looking to do is readjust our fees to be more consistent with our neighboring communities. as identified in your staff report, section 5100 for fees and building permits. We proposed some amendments to those. For example, when you look at the residential building new construction, our current rate is 35 cents per square foot. We want to readjust that to 40 cents. Building additions, it's 45 cents per square foot. Currently, we want to readjust that to 50 cents, and you can see it as we go down. We feel like those are modest amendments. Those are just trying to stay in pace with our neighboring communities as we go through the permitting process. But those are primarily pertaining to Section 5100 for the building permits. And then as we move forward, we are proposing some amendments to Section 5150 that pertains to sign permits. Currently, we have the existing sign permit provision of the $100, but we've added the $2.25 per square footage because we're reviewing each sign individually on top of it. And then we're talking about amendments to Section 5.200 as it pertains to the electrical, mechanical, and plumbing permits. And I'm sorry I'm running through these. I'll answer, but these are, you know, there's a lot in there. But then we're also looking at adding a section, 5.425, which is probably the biggest part of this amendment, in adding engineering and public works development review and inspection fees. As you are aware, we have the permitting and the inspection and the review process, but we really did not have a breakdown of the cost incurred by the engineering department when they do a review and inspection associated with the engineering component of all developments. We've basically been providing that service in kind. Now we want to add an applicable fee for the services that we're providing as part of that process. So that's probably the biggest part of this. We're adding this to it. And Evan, I know he's here to answer any specific questions, but we added that in as section 5.425. We lined it up to the inspection and the permitting process so we can incorporate that into our MGO system and collect those incurred costs by our department. Additional amendments pertain to the historic review process. We basically, what we did there, we had one fee that would come in when we would get a certificate of appropriateness. We've really increased that fee to add an additional $100 for applications that are required to go before the HRB that for their certificate of appropriateness, because that takes staff time. We have to prepare that staff report when we present it to them. So we've added an additional $100 to that cost when someone has to take their application to the HRB. And then when you go down to section 5.502, we've added application fees. These are primarily associated with preliminary plats, minor plats, replats that we see as a department when those come in for our review and approval. And then in that section, probably the biggest amendment to that is we did identify in there that all public works, engineering, construction review, and inspection fees will defer to that newly created section 5.425, which has now created those fees. And then the last part of it, we have upped our zoning application fees to be more consistent with our neighbors. We did, for example, we've created a new fee of $750 for a rezoning request. It was previously $600. Conditional use permits will go up to $750, where they were previously $500. And then vesting determinations, that was a big one that we upped it on, up to $250, or it was $250, we upped it to $1,000, because that takes a significant amount of research and cost where we have to check outside resources to make that vesting determination. The other big thing we did add, and it goes back to the section 5.502, is we did add a development agreement fee that we didn't have before. Traditionally, you'll see an annexation, for example, where there is a development agreement that we have to review and we have to consult with legal and everybody else. We didn't have a cost for that at one time. So we mirrored our neighboring communities in that that would be a $2,500 fee plus $200 an acre and attorney fees that we may not know in advance. So Long story short, these fees are brought up to speed with our neighbors, and we've increased some, or added some additional review and inspection fees that we do in-house that we didn't do before. And we just feel like that these were appropriate fees and amendments that would keep us consistent with our neighbors and cover the cost for the services that we're providing. So be happy to, I know I went through a lot, but be happy to answer any specific
questions. I just thought of this and didn't give you a heads up. Did you and Krista do any analysis about what kind of bump this would do in fees for an annual?
We did not, but one thing I did do, and an example that I can give you here is, so I took a fee on a commercial development that we have here in town, and so roughly it's a 9,300 square foot development, commercial development. Their current fee structure is written, it's based on that, I believe it's 45 cents per square foot for the first 5,000 square feet of a commercial development, and then an additional 30 cents for every additional 1,000 square feet, and then you do the multiplier by 1,000. Long story short, if we did that review today, it would be, and that fee, we actually have an actual fee close to that number, it would be roughly $5,894.
With the new fee?
For the old fee. Okay. The new fee would readjust it to roughly $6,469.
Okay. Okay.
The big thing with that, what I really like to note is we basically provided roughly $2,000 in in-kind services and engineering review that we did not get. That would add an additional $1,960. So that would take that fee to roughly $8,000. What I can tell you is I have done some research and reached out to some consulting firms that do reviews and inspections for communities, and they are statewide. They've done Dallas, Fort Worth, and other communities. I took a cost analysis of what they would charge. Their fee was roughly $8,200, so we're only $400 off, and they don't provide engineering. So folks are coming here, and they're still getting less cost for the same service. We are now creating or collecting fees that we need to cover our in-house costs. So we're very happy.
Any other questions, Councilman?
I move we approve ordinance 2026-13.
Second.
Motion second to approve this. Any other questions or comments? All right, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 7D, consider the adoption of the 2026 ordinance previously tabled, so I'm going to need a motion to move it off the table, Council.
Motion to move off the table.
Second.
Motion second to move off the table. To consider it today at this time, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, this is an adoption of a... excuse me, an ordinance that about new fees for leaf and brush collection services. Chris, do you have some opening comments?
I was just going to mention, Mayor, that this was an item that council asked staff to look at during the fiscal year 26 budget discussions back in June and July. We have had several conversations, including a presentation on November 18th of last year. This item was considered in December at the second regular council meeting for ordinance amendments to our current sanitation ordinances. It does include that fee that's currently in your packet. Be happy to go into any details or additional conversation as far as what those expenses that we see for both the brush and leaf collection service that the city provides that's currently free of charge.
Thank you. Let me... excuse me, let me give you my perspective because we've received quite a few comments from the public about this. And unfortunately, when you have a new proposal like this, some people think you're trying to do something under the table or inappropriate or corrupt or whatever. Then let me just say what's happened. The growing expenses, costs for services is continuing to be a burden and will continue to grow. Everybody knows how gas and labor and everything has gone up, And the city is obviously, since that's what we do so much, have to suffer those costs and those cost increases. The general revenue, general fund that is the source of the property tax continues to be something that the council discusses quite a bit. So this was simply a proposal discussed. Is there a way to section this service out a little bit and get costs by the people who use it to pay the expenses for the equipment and the people and so forth? It was not an end run around taxes. It wasn't an additional tax. It was just something we asked the staff to do. Are there other ways that we can gain, is there a revenue stream that we could gain in a per service that we're providing? But we know this is a very popular service with a lot of people. But there were good questions about, well, what if you opt out? What if you don't ever put anything out to pick up? What if you don't ever, you don't have any trees or grass or whatever, or shrubs that you do, which is probably a small number of people, but then you've got rent properties, multifamilies, et cetera. So we were just looking and exploring, trying to find ways to relieve the increased costs on services. That's all. It wasn't intended to be another tax or any of that sort of thing. But your council is charged with the idea of asking for ideas to float and explore. So that's what we've done. Now we're at the point where we can decide whether or not a yes or no on this particular issue. I do have people signed up to speak on this council, so, and I have several. So I'm going to ask you to come up. I'm going to time you 3 minutes. And I'm taking them in the order as they were given me. Angela Brindley.
Even though you said, Mayor, you said that we go up in the order, you said, I did request, if it's all right with you, that Randy Brayley, Riley, that he could go first, if that's all right with you.
Oh, sure. Okay. Randy, you've been requested to go first. By one person.
I'm going to say that is a first, and I will accept it. Randy Brayley, Fredericksburg. I just wanted to say, first of all, I appreciate the great deal of deliberation that you all have put into this. I know it's taken a lot of conversation. Having been on council, I have a great deal of trust and respect for this council. And I know that you all have done independent research on this. And in January, I think the conversation was to do more research, have more conversations, respond to emails. And I'm confident that took place. I understand the pressure of the revenue, Mayor, respectfully. But I hope that you come to the same conclusion I did. I think there's more creative ways to approach this. My concern is that introducing fees could potentially become a slippery slope, so I'll just leave it there. But I hope you come to the same conclusion. I think there's other ways to approach this and that you reject this fee in any shape or form. Thank you.
All right. So, Angela, do you want to go now or you want someone else to speak?
Okay, I only just heard of this recently, and I live in Stone Ridge, and I believe there are a lot of other people who live there too, and quite frankly, I think this is very unjust, no matter which way you look at it, because most people nowadays, we all know, as you just stated, Mayor, that all fees are going up to the point where, you know, our hair is falling out, and I just think it's a very unnecessary increase. Because first and foremost, from the little I know, there is no lack in the purse when it comes to sanitation and management and waste. And I heard you mention this, I also think it's very unfair that those of us that have never even used the service, which I have never, because as old as I am, I'm 79, but I bag my own. And I take it down to the dump, where, of course, it is free, which is wonderful. So I hope they don't start charging, because that's all we need. So to increase on every citizen here $160 per year for blinking leaves, I think is just ridiculous, especially when there's no reason for it. I mean, I've looked at the figures. It's not like they're lacking money, and I don't see the point in it. And I think it's terrible to say, well, we'll charge you anyway, even if you bag your own and take it down. It's just not fair. So I think something's fair, I'll think twice. But to me, this is ridiculous. But thank you.
Thank you. Mike Mahoney.
Mike Mahoney, Fredericksburg.
Can you turn up the sound, please?
Do what?
Can you turn the sound up?
On the mic.
On the mic?
On this one?
The speaker's mic? Or?
Okay. Just speak into the mic. I think it's high enough. It's just people need to speak into it.
Ideas come up that we all may individually think are dumb or great, and there's discussion about that. I don't think this is one of those. I think every now and then an idea is so dumb that everybody you talk to goes, yeah, that doesn't make sense. This one where we're talking about moving money from one pocket to another, essentially. This has always been funded by the general fund. And what does it gain to try to charge people in addition to the general fund? It's a tax increase, any way you look at it, to the bottom line of the citizens. If you make this fee mandatory, there's a lot of unintended consequences that can happen. Some people will simply say, okay, heck with it. I'm not going to pay. I'm not going to sign on. If you say it's mandatory, we're going to attach it to anybody who has trash service. This is enough money that some people will go, okay, fine, here's my trash can. I'm out of that business. And they'll either abandon their trash, put it in other people's cans, take it down Main Street, drop it on Main Street. They don't have a lot. And it'll save them, you know, $100-some-odd a year. Or they, if it's voluntary, they'll say, no, I'm not going to do it. They won't rake their leaves. They'll let them blow to their neighbors. And folks like me that care about how things look will end up picking up their leaves. And the bottom line is the same trash is going to go. The goal has, I always understood it, was minimize what goes into the landfill. Because this is compostable. It has some alternative use. And when we go to a transfer station, that's still going to be the case. If it goes into that transfer facility and gets hauled off, that's going to be a cost to the city. So I don't think we should be minimizing or taking action that will may ultimately have people quit using this service, which this fee is enough to encourage people to do that. So please reject this. You looked at it, and let's just let it go. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Is it Stefan?
Yes.
I can't quite make out the last name. You can tell me.
That's by design.
Oh.
Stefan Sanko. I'm a resident here at Fredericksburg. I too just learned about this from a neighbor. I'll be brief because I think others have spoken well about some of the concerns here. I come from a big city. I'm now a resident here. I've lived in other big cities. One of the biggest complaints people have when they move from those jurisdictions is things like this, where you get inflation of fees going up and up and up, and you never know where the money's going, and you don't have a good way to control the city and how it's operating. I can appreciate what is said about taxes and the cost of things going up. I think most of us look at it as the people that are paying, and I realize many here, maybe everyone here is paying that as well, but we look at that and say, how can we do it with what we have? I heard, and I'll just leave it with one stat here, I heard someone say that the vineyards, they have the same traffic and they have 50% revenue, okay? They have the same people coming here and they're trying to figure out how to tighten their belt. What are they going to do? How do they operate? I think there's a lot of people across this country, including this area, that are trying to ask those hard questions, what do we do? And at a time like that, it's really not a great time to be raising and adding a fee. So thank you.
What city did you come from, Stefan?
Dallas, as well as Chicago.
Okay.
So we can talk fees. I come from Chicago. I'm an expert.
I'm sure. Well, welcome to Fredericksburg. You made a good decision.
Yes, I agree.
Mo Saidi. Well, we also have your written comment.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Let me, and you have my comments submitted, so I won't talk about that, but I want to talk from heart. First of all, let's not say this is a free service, please. That's irritating to a lot of us. We pay for that service through the sanitation fund and our utility bill. So there is no such a thing as free lunch. There is no such a thing as a free service. So let's put that notion aside. and that is really irritating. The second thing I want to say is, and I'm looking at the your budget, 2026 budget summary, the sanitation department has over $620,000 reserve above and beyond 3 month emergency reserve that is required. It is right here. You have in your budget exercise for sanitation department, you had about $380,000 of deficit. So when you talk about $10 a month, that equates to about $731,000 a year. So how did you come up with $731,000 a year when you only have a deficit of $380,000? Okay, that's number one. Number two, when you say it is free, that's because you do not have a line item specific in the budget for brush and leaf pickup. You don't have a line item budget for the garbage pickup either. So it comes across like, well, we never accounted for it and it's free. That is a misnomer. So if you really want to exercise and know the actual cost, what is really costing on it, put the line item budget for specific items in the budget, then you know what the actual cost is, and we can reasonably talk about, you know, what is up and what is down. The other thing I want to say is that this notion of a free item, if you really want to, let me, last time I talked about these things, it is not fair when we talk about it, when you provide the recycling center free charge to the county residents, when you find the drop-off services free of charge, that's really free. When we are talking about free, those are free items that you provide to the county residents, and yet you're asking for additional fee from residents to cover these costs. So in conclusion, I would say, please, you have a choice, either reject this altogether or postpone it to after the election with a new council perhaps coming and allow us to explore these numbers, where the $731,000 comes from, what is the discrepancy here, and why is it $10 a month and not $2 a month or something. But I totally agree with all of you and what you said, Mayor, early on. I'm all for, if you show me the reasonable number, justifiable number, that tells me this is the cost, this is what we're incurring, this is what we're asking, I'm all for it and I'll be supporting it all throughout, but I don't see that number today.
Mo, you've mentioned several times, where has the idea that this is free been pitched?
Mr. Kinesi this morning just said this is a free of charge.
Oh.
That we are doing. And I've seen that throughout the publications in the paper, and I've seen officials talk about it that it's free, and it's not free. We're paying for this.
Okay. Well, okay, thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Charlie?
Yeah. I don't even know how to say my last name.
Charlie Keeney.
Thank you.
Mayor and Council, I'm gonna take a little different approach. Thank you for this opportunity. I want to give you a little history about when I was a kid growing up about leaves and sticks. My mom said, "You want to rake the leaves?" "No, Mom, I don't want to rake the leaves. But if you put them on the street, you can burn them." We burned them. What about those sticks on the corn trees? "And I don't want to pick them up, Mom." "Well, you can build a campfire." "Okay, we did it." So that's how we did it back in the day, and that's not the way to do it today. And I hope the fire pit marshal or whoever's here doesn't come and get me a citation for that later. Anyway, what I understand, you know, the cost of running the council. I've been on the council, mayor, and as a city council member. My concern is the fee. You know, it may not impact a lot of people in this room today, but that fee can impact people who live from check to check. You know, whatever that amount is, if it's $120 a year, $160 a year, that's impactful to a lot of our folks here because fees go up. When I was at college, I paid for all the fees and half of them I didn't use. Okay. I was upset about that, but I was locked into that at Texas A&M. My point here today is if this is passed and there is a significant income for this service, then I would hope this council or the future council would be reflected in the budget process and the tax rate. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. Anyone else? All right. Council?
I'm glad it looks like maybe we've come to some common sense. I have questioned this all along, even though my colleague talked about it not being a tax. It is a fee that's been passed down to the residents. And I disagree with this thing originally, and I still continue to disagree with it. We actually have our first quarter results from the city, and, you know, we've got $1 million over what we budgeted. And I realize that's not an aligned item again, but I'm certainly, from the very beginning, did not approve of this. And so there's any comments, but I'm ready to make a motion.
Just got a little something to say. I appreciate council delving into this concept of covering the cost in a way that doesn't take away from PD, fire, EMS, other things that come out of the general fund. When we talked about this a while back, I think now that where we are right now, and you know, the new council will be taking on the budgeting process coming on, this needs to be very much a part of the discussion. We've got potential transfer station, curbside recycling, composting. We've got services we provide non-city residents that we are not reimbursed for. It's a big hairy thing, and we need to make sure that our fees are covering the actual cost of things. So I hesitate to just say no without working towards an option for a solution, because I don't think we're there yet to say, and this is the plan to cover costs. We've got some that come out of enterprise funds, some that comes out of general fund, and we don't itemize it like Mo said, so we don't have that data there. I think for the benefit of our city residents, we should also look at outsourcing trash, recycling, all these things to see if maybe a private company could do a better job financially. Maybe they can't, but we don't know. We don't have the data to really make a decision on this. This is a one-off thing to help recoup some money, but in a dream world, yes, let's do it as part of the whole budget process.
Anyone else? Bobby Todd? Okay.
Yeah, I would agree with Emily that Chris did some really good work. This PowerPoint that you provided to council, obviously the public didn't see it. That was in a special work session. I think this has some really good factual numbers on what it is costing us. But then I would agree with Emily that we need to take this and apply it to the budget.
I understand what you're talking about, and I agree too, planning ahead of time. But that transfer station is probably going to be happening when this entire council's, except for Bobby, he keeps coming back, will be gone. And so that's still down the road. I'm not saying we shouldn't plan for it, but it's still a few years down the road here. So I make a motion we deny.
Bobby, hang on. This was brought up during campaigning several times, and the discussion was it does cost money. We can eliminate the service, and then I think people would not be pleased with the way our town looks. So then we started talking about charging a fee to cover the cost of leaf and brush pickup. If you use it or you don't use it, you're a beneficiary of what we do, because our town looks great. And people rely on it and to keep our town. And that's probably why some of y'all moved to this town, because the way our town looks and the way we care for it and the way we manage our money. And there was a comment made that you don't know where the money goes in our budget, and there's no controls. Well, all of our budget meetings are public. They're announced, but nobody shows up. So if you don't, very few people show up. If you want to know where we spend our money, come to the meetings. They're open to the public. We don't do anything that's not public. So I think the fees have some merit. I don't believe we have the support for it right now, but I hope that during the next when the next council comes on and we go through the budget process, we take a look at all our fees. Because the cost to run this city is not going down. It's going up, and we have more people that live here. We have more services that we offer. And the one thing I won't stand for or I won't agree with is offering less, because we have an incredible town and we offer things that no other town in our area or no other town in Texas offer. And that makes us very special. And that's probably why a lot of y'all in this room live here. So that's all I have to say.
Still ready to make my motion to deny the ordinance 2025-54 for the approval of the new fees for the leaf and brush collection services. And by the way, Chris, thanks for your work on that.
Yes, sir.
All right, I have a motion to not approve. Have a second?
Yes.
Okay, next motion. Did you second?
I did not. Can we table?
Motion dies for lack of second. What do you want to do, Council?
Can we table for the budget process? Or is it?
Can we be more intentional to ensure that the future council takes this up?
We can't. That's why I'm asking if we table.
You can't do that to a future council. They have to take it up.
The option to table is certainly there.
I would say table, pardon me, Mayor, perhaps table to the first budget discussion of this item.
And then then what?
For discussion at the first budget session where this service can be discussed.
Do you want to make that motion?
I move to table the 2026 ordinance for new fees for leaf and brush collection services until the first budget session.
Second.
All right, I have a motion second to table this until the first budget discussion, which will occur in June, I suppose. All right. Okay. Any further questions or discussion about the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I vote nay. We could do it today, but that's okay. If y'all want to move on, I won't be here. All right. Request Z2601. And 2604. These are both items, Council, that they need to be renoticed by the P&Z for April. So there's no action to take today. But I will, and this is one of the sexually oriented businesses, vape shops, game and skill parlors, and tattoo studios. And the other one is multiple family residence uses within C1. These will need to be re-examined by P&Z, obviously. But, audience, I will take any comments about these today, but there's no action for us to take. Anybody? George, you look like you want to say something. Okay.
Well, part of the reason, George Studer, part of the reason why we are here, we talked about leaf collection and other things, is that we can have a town that's attracted to children and families, and I would say serious consideration of either one of those topics, and including gambling, I don't know if it's part of that, are detrimental to our city and even the county if we don't address it clearly and with seriousness. So just, it's really important to me. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, so we'll move to other action items and updates. We have a consider and take action on the appeal of the Director of Development Services denial of an STR unoccupied permit for Acre Project LLC at 804 Henry Etta Street. Cliff?
Yes, thank you, Mayor, and I know the applicant should be here this morning, Mr. Weed. As you know, in accordance to Chapter 20 of our code in terms of short-term rentals, there is an appeal process that's available to anyone who needs to appeal the determination of the Director of Development Services in terms of the reissuance of a STR permit in this, with this specific property, it's my understanding that the applicant has to come back for this process due to a transfer of ownership issue that was associated with the original permit of this property. If you look at section 20-221-3 of our code, it talks about the transfer of ownership process. And my understanding is, even though this applicant and this property has continued to maintain a valid or an STR permit and pay hot tax, there was a discrepancy in the transfer of ownership process in that the new ownership exceeds 50% of what the original was, which required that to be completed back last year. That did not happen. So when they come to reapply for their 26 permit, we were unable to issue the permit based upon that process. And I believe that's why Mr. Leach is here today to address that with you and request an appeal.
Okay. Mr. Leach.
Council, thank you. Thank you for having me and giving me this opportunity.
You mind speaking into the mic? It's important that the audience hear.
Sure, sure. Thank you, Council, for giving me this opportunity to appeal. I wish it was under different circumstances. I would have loved to speak on some of those other things. Because I love this town, my family loves this town, and we kind of fell in love with it. And back during the COVID years, and we came upon it and wanted to bring other people here and host people in our home. And my wife does a lovely job, and it's kind of, we don't have a conglomerate of STRs. This is just our one place that we fell in love with. And so we unbeknownst to me, and it was I come pleading equity for your favor to allow us to continue on with this due to my main incompetence for reading the law before my counsels, we should do something for the legacy of your family, conveyed the property into a trust. And unbeknownst to me, I overlooked some of the STR laws and codes. And we initially came, as it came time to renew our STR permit at this new year, I was kind of confused. How should we apply, knowing it has conveyed? We've conveyed ownership to the trust. So I was upfront, no ill intent. Was never trying to kind of pull the rug over the city's eyes, but was always willing to be upfront and compliant with the codes and regulations. This just fell through the cracks, and we are pleading for that back to accept our appeal and to continue on with doing what we love, and that is hosting people at the property and through our company to provide people with a good time in Fredericksburg. And as we all know and love this city, it's a good time. So.
If I have you correct on your application, you started operation in 23?
Yes.
Okay. Have correct. You been involved since then?
Yes.
The operation, you yourself and your
me and my wife, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what prompted the change was a redesignation of the property from private ownership to a trust?
That's correct.
Is that the extent of the change?
That was it.
Okay.
That was it. Yeah, just for my family, family legacy. And, you know, we wanted, you know.
That's protecting assets.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, Dane, I'm looking at the history. It looks like y'all listed it for sale back in November of 24 and then again in July of 25, and it's currently listed for sale.
Yes.
So how are you going to welcome people into the home if you don't, if you're not managing it, you're not owning it? I'm confused. The trust is selling it now?
We've toyed around with it because it's been a hard business, you know? I mean, obviously. We've toyed around with, we're moving around a lot. We have a home in Oregon as well, trying to get our family closer relatives to kind of make the change with us. We wanted a foot plant down here because we loved it so much. And kind of, you know, during some of the chaotic times back home, we fell in love with this area. Hopefully, I don't know how people feel about Oregonians coming to this part of the country, but we think it's beautiful. Anyways, so we have, depending on what kind of moved, we were trying to figure out where we wanted to go, and this was always an option. It's been a hard market, both for renting, but also sales as well. So,
you're looking to sell the property
at some point.
What were you saying? It was listed. It's not.
No, it's listed.
It is listed for sale. So it's on the market now to sell.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Council, somebody want to move this?
Yeah. I move to deny the appeal for the SCR unoccupied permit at 804 Henrietta Street.
Second.
Have a motion second to deny this appeal. Any further questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. I think the fact that you're going to sell it may turn my mind.
Yeah, I understand, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Consider contract renewal for JM Pipeline in the amount not to exceed $500,000. Chris?
Thank you, Mayor. Over the last 4 years, the city has been working with JM Pipeline as part of a project that was set up to essentially replace undersized water and sewer mains. This mainly includes 2-inch mains throughout the older portions of the neighborhood. Not only is the city working with this contractor, we're also doing some work in-house to replace these undersized utility mains as well. Over the last 4 years, the contractor has replaced approximately 5,500 2-inch mains and about 2,500 4-inch feet of mains, which has really helped not only from a water distribution standpoint, but also from a fire protection emergency service standpoint, allowing us to install fire hydrants and the needed equipment or infrastructure to respond to those incidences. This is a budgeted item. Council, as part of the FY26 budget, did include $500,000 for this project. This particular contract with JM Pipeline is a renewal allowed in the contract for up to 5 years. So this is the fifth of the 5 years. I'd be happy to answer any questions in regards to the project or JM Pipeline as a contractor. Answer any questions from council.
I'll make a motion to approve the renewal of the contract with JM Pipeline LLC.
Second.
Motion and second to approve. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks.
Council, we're accepting the Historic Review Board member resignation from Sid Donnell. Official action.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion and second to accept her resignation. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Item 9, future agenda. Mr. Bailey.
Hey, Mayor and Council. Thank you. Coming up April 7th, regular council meeting, we have a number of items already on the agenda. Public hearing to consider a development plat related to the Frederick Road alignment. This is the Waldorf Astoria Frederick Road alternate route study that will have to be formed. And also the developer here presenting in detail the results of both the study and plans for the development. We have an amendment to the LCRA wholesale power agreement. Chris will be handling sidewalk ordinance update to current sidewalk plan. So this is something that we do every year for a new slate of sidewalk projects for construction. We have ratification of the CBB appointment of Nicole Horton. We will have the FISD here, representative from FISD here, talking about the bond proposition for a new high school. So that will be a good update. And then finally, the chamber will be giving their quarterly update. So the chamber, the CBB, and the EDC are on schedule for giving these regular quarterly updates. On April 21st, as was previously mentioned, we have our joint meeting with the HRB. And again, discussion related to policies, procedures, and roles of the individuals serving on that board. Future council meetings coming up in May. We discussed previously the Native Plant Society is planning a beautification project along Main Street. They have a couple of areas for a demonstration project and then a plan for a build-out of some native plantings in areas that need a little bit of help. We'll be hearing from them. We'll also have our audit presentation and budget amendments that we'll have in front of the council for your consideration on May 5th. May 11th, Monday, May 11th, we have an ordinance canvassing the city's general election. And then May 19th, CEB quarterly report that will be given at this point by David Shields. Just a couple of items coming up, meetings coming up. Later this month, Citizen University will be Fire EMS, Emergency Management, Chamber Leaders Breakfast. I think all of you are aware. Chamber Leaders Breakfast on March 25th. We'll have Cliff Cross, our Development Services Director, and the County Engineer, Melissa Eckert, presenting during that breakfast. Next day, Touch a Truck coming up. Chamber again through 6:30 at Mark Plotz. Jumping down to, May 19th will be the first meeting of the new council. Elected council will be taking their oath and certificates, kicking off the new slate of council members, and then jumping all the way down to June, July. This is something that we talked about last time, where as I've discussed with all of you, we feel it is probably better to use the opportunity for our during our budget kickoff meeting to start talking about our strategic plan with the new council. So that will be something that we continue to discuss and build throughout the budget process. If you have any answer, any questions, or any changes or additions.
Will the strategic plan be completed by April, as initially discussed?
We have a substantial amount of the plan put together. However, we need input from the council regarding community priorities and so forth. I've been working with Krista along with representatives from OpenGov to build back in. We're getting cost estimates. We're looking at other options to manage a lot of the data that flows in and out of that, which is primarily the tool that we will use internally to manage all of the projects, initiatives, all of the tasks out of the comprehensive plan and so forth. But again, that piece up front, the mayor's message will be right up front, and I'm interested in sitting down with the new council and really building what I'm calling the front end of the document that will be updated every year as council comes in, as things change, with their view on community priorities. So, yes, to answer your question, the majority of it, we're still on track, but we need that input from council.
Any other questions, comments about future agenda? Any other comments, questions about anything? All right, that ends the final, with all of the agenda items covered today. If there's anything further, we are adjourned. Thank you.